It's awesome to see a body that loves each other so much. So thank you, everybody, for coming out today. Obviously, as you can see, that I am not Steve. I'm very honored to stay in the position that he has led for so many years in the ministry that he has led, thankfully, due to our gracious and good and Father Jesus. Today is kind of I want to lead first and foremost, I want to say with all due respect. I want to say that first, because if there's some stuff I say in here before that offends you, just remember I did say with all due respect. So that allows me to say whatever I want to say after that. So as you can see, the title of the message today is Living in a Prayer, which is kind of following suit with where Steve has been at lately with his 80s themes of Rebel Yell, you know, with more, more, more. And it made me start to really realize where I am at in my walk and in my life with Jesus. And where I'm at personally. And the reason that living in a prayer kind of hit me is because thankfully today I'm living in a time that I have prayed for a long, long, long time, right? But I lose sight of that when I start to focus on the circumstances that's going on in my life, like when I'm frustrated at my job or, you know, my relationships aren't working out the way I want to, or I do not feel as connected with Jesus as I want to be. And I say that specifically because Jesus is always connected to us. It's only me that is disconnected from him. So that's why the title of today is Living in a Prayer, right? Because that's exactly what is happening in this time in my life. And I want to make sure that I do every effort and follow every action that I can do to stay in touch with that and to remind myself of that because as many of you know, I had my struggles with addiction, and through that, it really showed me that the life that I had lived beforehand. So Brooke has a couple pictures back there uploaded that I'm going to show you guys real quick, just to show you the power of the resurrection that Jesus Christ does have. This is me at 21 years old, and I'm not showing this to give display or to lift me up by any means. This is truly only to exalt the power of Jesus. Because I am a reborn man due to that. So this is me at 21 years old. I don't look that lost and broken just yet, right? Because I still have some things that I'm holding on to, and I'm holding it together, right? Like, life has not really gotten that bad yet. So we'll fast forward to the next one, and you'll see the progression. If you look inside of my eyes right here, it's just literally lost, hopeless, and soulless that is happening. But I'm still not done yet. So we'll progress forward to the next one. The demonic oppression that is happening right here, right? Because I am unwilling to come under the belief that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, right? So we'll fast forward on to another one. I know, you're like, golly, man, you still haven't learned? Which, this is just the ones that actually have pictures to them. There's about 10 more after all the ones that you see. This only went on in a time period of about 3 to 4 years. I used to catch cases like you catch the cold. So we'll fast forward on to the next one. And as you can see, still just lost and hopeless. But thankfully, at this period of my life, there was people who still carried the message of Jesus Christ to me. Although I was unwilling to hear it at the time, people still carried that to me. And I bring that up specifically because that is our commission, right? Like Matthew 28 clearly tells us that our mission is to go out to create disciples, right? Go out and spread the word. And to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? But I get fearful of that sometimes. Like when I'm standing at the gas station clerk and I'm looking at this person, which all of us just got an image in our head, right? I'm staring at this person. It's like, do you believe in Jesus? And I feel the prompt on my heart, right? And I'm like, I don't want to get in that debate right now, Lord. So the reason I'm bringing all that up is because we are to do the most that we can to advance the glory and the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And it is because of that that we're not only to do that because a lot of people, you know, think that we are under this this impression that we are living on borrowed time, right? Like, this life is not mine. I'm on borrowed time, so I have to do as much as I can with it. But he kind of gave me a revelation, and everything let me preface with this, I'm going to back up, sorry. Everything that I'm saying today, I do want you to know that this is not to be an at you thing. This is things that he prompts me with my own heart. So I just want to share this collectively with you guys, because it's not like, I do this, so you guys should do that. It's like, no, he's like, John, are you doing this? Well, in case my mother's watching, let me say Jonathan. She named me Jonathan, not John. So if she's watching, please call me Jonathan. So these are things that he prompts to my heart because he catches me when I'm not being aware of myself or how I'm conducting and carrying myself. So the reason that I want to make that very apparent and say that is because we do not live in borrowed time, right? That is under the impression that I have created something. I have created the day, I have created the breath, the works, all that, but that's not true because then that's me taking the position of God in my life. So really what I am living in, as we all call it and know it, but truly sometimes do we fully understand it, is grace, right? That is what my life today is just nothing but grace. And I take that for granted. So with that, I'm going to go into some scriptures. So if you got your Bibles, and I hope that you do, we're going to go to Hebrews. We got a lot of things that we're going to read today. And this may sound a little bit familiar because Steve was hitting on this last Sunday, and it just really kind of set the stage for what God had been prompting on my heart ever since he asked me to give me the opportunity, to speak. And what we're going to be at is in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. And this is something that he had prompted on my heart before the current events. I'm not going to go into them. I'm not going to talk about them. We all are aware of it because we all have the internet today. But this was prompted on my heart beforehand. So God is still alive to this day and still. I'm not saying they prophesied to me or I prophesied through him, but God is still alive and working. So it says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. And this is exactly why I'm saying, with all due respect, right? Because this is the problem of the modern day church. And I've fallen victim to it as well. I will see somebody that is in need of help or somebody that I know is not following Jesus Christ, and I do not go up to them and show them the way, right? Because somebody else can do that. It's not my job. Oh, somebody else can reach that person. These are all things that go off in my head, right? When it's like the Lord is prompting to me to go share the gospel with this person, it's like, we don't look like we have anything in common, so I'm going to let somebody else do that. Like, Lord, you'll catch them on the back end. This isn't my responsibility. But what exactly does this say right here? He says, he will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you helped his people. Not the people I want to help, but help his people. And then he even goes on to further, Paul even further says, to continue to help them. So it's not me just helping one person and then being like, did my deed, Lord. Thank you, I'm good, I'm sanctified. No, he says to continue to help them. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end. And the person who comes to my mind exactly when I read this and I think of this, and this is not to be cliche or anything like that, but it's just truly the way that I view our pastor. This man has been doing this since 19 years old, and he's what, 65? And he is still with the same diligence carrying this message to all of us and even further than that. So that's the whole reason that I really wanted to come in today to say to specifically branches of Christ, nobody in particular, but branches of Christ and all of us who call ourselves Christians, let's be Christians, right? Like, let's continue to carry the gospel, because we can turn on the news, we can turn on Facebook, X, whatever social media platform you're on, and we can see how broken and lost the world is. And I mean, you just saw pictures of how lost and broken I was, but somebody still continued to carry that message to me. So the other thing that he prompts to me is when I'm seeing that, this was a question that he gave to me on a Wednesday night service. He says, he put on my heart, he says, how many experience bondage in some manner? Do I live by flesh or do I trust my own logic to prevail over? I trust Jesus with my salvation, but not of my worldly life. Seems a little bit backwards, right? And the reason that I'm saying that is because I have suffered in bondage of some manner, which I think, I mean, if you have experienced bondage in some manner, please raise your hand right now. Let it be known that just about everybody in this room raise their hand right now. And the reason that this has prompted so heavily on my heart, and again, with all due respect, at invitation time at service here, there's about 10 of us that come up and fall on our knees in our face to the glory of God. And that's not me condemning or anything like that. That is just truly me to encourage each and every single person in here. That bondage that you suffered from, do not forget who released you from that hell. And from hell that is to come for eternity, right? So even if, like, an invitation today, if it's just, Lord, thank you for saving my soul, I encourage each and every person in this room, whether it's at this altar, it's in the back, it's outside, wherever, to give him that glory and thanks. And it's like, well, John, it's easy for you to sit up there and to take our inventory. That's because how often do we take our inventory? Right? Like, how often do we actually look at ourselves and say, I'm really not carrying the gospel. I'm really not walking in the image of Christ, or that I'm afraid to, or whatever. Remember, or it, you know, I'm just one person. How much can I actually change the world? There's about approximately 100, 120 of us in here, right? That is huge power, especially when lifted with the Holy Spirit and to walk in His guidance and His counsel. Only 12 people radically changed the world and are to this day because of their willingness, right? So just putting that out there just to give you something to think about. And again, it is truly just to encourage you and to uplift you. It's not me taking shots at you or to be like, well, you need to do better. And again, remember, these are things that are prompted on my heart as well. So with that, we're going to jump over to Romans. We're going to go to Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 12. Paul is kind of giving us some direction of how we are to live through the Spirit, right? Instead of by these fleshly principles. So excuse me a second while I get a drink. So if you've gotten there, Romans 8, verse 5, it says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not flesh to live according to it, for you will live according to flesh, you will die. But if the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. There is a lot to eat and to crunch on that right there. And I mean, you could really, well, Steve could preach a whole sermon on that. I don't know if I could. but it just, it really gives me inspiration to draw on from the same Spirit that was inspired in Paul to write this inspires me, because it's like, even after coming to know Christ, right, like in surrendering my life to Him, that was one thing that I kind of wish I would have dedicated a little bit more time to, because thankfully on December 20th of 2020, right after COVID, I gave my life over to my Lordship and my Savior Jesus Christ right here in this church. And it was all due, again, to somebody carrying this message to me about the salvation that Jesus Christ offers. But even after that, I have still fallen to the flesh at times, right? Like, I worry about my income or how I'm going to provide for my wife or how many people I can attain to or I can appeal to, right? Which is call it bluntly, that's demonic, right? Because it's prideful, right? How many people can I reach? Not how many people can you reach through me, Lord? I've done that, right? Even after coming to know Christ, right? Because I'm powerless. And I fall under these delusions that sometimes I'm doing more than what God can do. But when I surrender that and I follow the teachings of what Jesus had told me to do, to crucify my flesh daily and to pick up my cross and to follow Him, it tells me the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So I don't have to have this brainstorm going on like, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if this happens? What if I do that? Or how can? You know, there's just that constant chatter in the skull that is happening, but instead, it's almost like radio silence or kind of like that white noise, which might sound crazy to you guys, but honestly, I kind of find peace in that where it's like, finally, there's some silence happening where I can actually listen to the voice of my shepherd, because he says, those who know me will know the voice of their shepherd. And that's what I listen to, and that's what a lot of these questions are that pose to me when I'm reading this, is just truthfully like the prompts and the questions that he sets on my heart to listen to. So it tells us again, I'm just going to reiterate this again at verse 12, where it says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if we do live to the flesh and surrender to the flesh, we're going to die. But if the Spirit, if we live in accordance to the Spirit, we have life and salvation through Jesus Christ. It's like, yeah, Jonathan, sorry, Mom. That's kind of elementary, but it's like, yeah, it is, but have we forgotten that? Have we forgotten how we got here? Because we have been just so caught in our routine. Sorry, I was trying to think of the word. Have we been caught so much in our routine where it's like, I go to church on Sunday, yeah, we praise and worship, hit communion, then after that, like, go get some lunch, and then start the work week and complain about, oh, man, the everything that's happening in the world or whatever party you try, whatever things are happening in your life that we just fall into, but, and then we lose sight of exactly what it was that we were talking about in church on Sunday. And I'm posing these as questions to you because it's the same thing that I've done myself. As soon as I've left into the parking lot, I have done these things. So with that, we're going to jump over to Romans 9, chapter 9, verses 22 through 25. Where it says, what if, this is kind of a good question, what if God, although choosing to show his wrath and make his power known, bore with great patience the objects of his wrath prepared for destruction? What if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy, whom he prepared in advance for glory? Even us, whom he also called, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles, as he says in Hosea, I will call them my people, who are not my people, and I will call her my loved one, who is not my loved one. Excuse me. So this makes me really think about what is happening in today's season of life of what's going on globally. Right? Because the other question that he prompted on my heart after reading this was, what is God calling for in this season of life? And it's also a warning to me because remembering all the scriptures in their context, right? Because it makes me think of being lukewarm. Whereas Jesus said to John in Revelation that he wishes that we were neither hot nor cold, but since we won't decide and we're lukewarm, he's going to spit us out of his mouth. Right? Like that's the biggest fear to me that comes in walking in this, in my walk with Jesus Christ. It's not that, Lord, Lord, like we prophesied in your name, we casted out demons, we did all these things, but then he says, get away from me, I never knew you. It's like, what if on just that one day, just Tuesday, October 23rd, right? Like, that's just the day that God has ordained to be the last day of my life. But it's just a Tuesday, I get up in the morning, I'm grumbling because I got to go to work, and my wife's calling me, she's telling me that she's having some difficulties going on, I get frustrated, then this person cuts me off, and I get even more frustrated, and I start cussing at this person, all these things, but then all of a sudden, truck sideblinds me, right, and all of a sudden, my life is gone, but because I was caught in that lukewarm moment, am I sanctified, right, and this is not to open up the debate of like, Does that make me lose my salvation or anything like that? The only thing that I am standing truly on is that he says that he wishes I was either hot nor cold. But since I won't choose either, he's going to spit me out. So my encouragement to that is, branches of Christ, let's stay hot.
Amen.
Right? Let's stay and stand truthfully on the principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not my interpretation, not what my brother said or what some pastor told me 20 years ago or anything like that, but the new revelations that Jesus Christ gives me through the guidance and counsel of his Holy Spirit when I open the text and read it. Right? There's a big pastor that I listen to very frequently down in Jacksonville. And one of the things that he says is that if you're struggling to hear from God, read the Word out loud. Because this is the Word of God, right? God is alive and active. So if that is something that you're struggling with to stay hot, I encourage you, even if it's something just simple, to grab your Bible and start reading it out loud. And I'm not going to sit here and act like I do this, because you can ask my wife. There's many nights where I'm just sitting there on my phone scrolling my news feed or whatever, and she's like, your Bible's been sitting there for a couple days, like, you know, don't you want to get into it? And the honest truth, sometimes I'm just going to tell you guys honestly, I'm like, don't really feel like it tonight. Right? And that's just me being real with you guys. But it's because when I read these things and I hear Steve like pleading to us as a church, which thank God for that, right? Like, thank God for that, man, because he is pleading to us as a church. That when I actually read these things, he's like, man, like, why don't you come to me instead? Like, yes, thank you, Steve, for what you have done, but the Lord is like, come to me instead. And I know if Steve was standing right here, that's the exact same thing he would say too. Like, yes, come to the Lord instead. Like, I'm just a little shepherd. He is the shepherd. So, sorry, get down off my... So, with that being said, like, since we are making an agreement, let's stay hot for the church. Let's stay, well, not for the church, for Jesus specifically. With doing that, again, I'm going to reference back to Matthew 28 for us to go on the Great Commission. It is for us to do that, to outreach and to reach to the community and to evangelize. So with that, it makes me think of a couple weeks ago, the Gen Next group, which praise God for that, has been growing. Thank you, Lord, for that. But a couple weeks ago, one of our events was an escape room, right? And it was a lot of fun. We had a great time. And after, thankfully, both teams had victory, but our team did win. Just want that to be noted. Thanks to Chandler, Chandler and Tim. Praise God for them. The thing that dawned on me after the fact, like, right, because hindsight's 20/20, when we completed the escape room, we celebrated the victory of conquering the room, right? And the first thing that happened, as soon as we were done, right, like, we started talking about the things that we got hung up on and the things that we're struggling with, or we saw that immediately, we were able to conquer that immediately. We started to talk about, like, how we figured these things out, right? Like, this, and my question here is, does anybody see where I'm going at with this? It's the same thing in our personal lives. Why do we not do that with the things in our lives? But it's like, I'm just going to sit back and be quiet. And, you know, if that person's struggling with this thing, although I've been through it, right? Like, trust me, I've done just about all of them. I've struggled with greed, lust, envy, addiction, name it. I've been there, right? But I don't carry that message to somebody else. So really, I guess today should have been carrying this message, because I keep saying that a lot. It seriously dawned on me as soon as we got done with that room. It was like, man, like, we talk about this immediately after we had conquer and victory in this. But why do we not do the same? Like, when, I'll just put it out here bluntly again. Like, I was struggling at the beginning of my marriage with my wife. I was struggling with a porn addiction, right? Didn't want to share that with anybody. And after it came out between her and I, and there was victory in Jesus that conquered that, none of y'all knew about it, right? Because I didn't share that with anybody. Whereas there could have been another brother or sister in here that's going through the same thing, but because I was so ashamed and unwilling to carry that to and share that with the body of Christ, at least, like, thankfully, we gather here today and we're all claimed brothers and sisters in Christ, and I'm not saying claimed as in, like, Anyways, don't want to touch that with, I don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. But thankfully, we have a place where we do have brothers and sisters here that were able to share those things, but I'm even ashamed to come and carry that to you guys, let alone to the outside world. So how dare I carry the gospel, right, to somebody who is seeking that? So the thing that I really want to encourage each and everybody in this room or anybody that's listening online is that if you're trying to find a place to go, if you're listening online, please come here to Branches. We would love to have you. If you're listening in the future, praise God that this church will still stand. If not, we'll be out in the parking lot praising God. Is that I encourage you to get with somebody if you have questions or if you have struggles, that you would share that with somebody else, right? Because we are to carry each other's burdens. Amen. That is the part of us gathering together here each and every Sunday. It's not just this check mark of like, did that, Lord, I'm spiritually fed through the week, I'm good. You know, and with that, it makes me think of this other thing that this pastor that I listened to had said, is that if that's all we're doing, right, is coming to church to get fed that one time a week, you add that up, right? Like, let's just do some simple math. We all graduated elementary school. We all know 2 + 2 = fish. So that's common. We can understand that. So there's 365 days in a year, right? But if we only come to church each Sunday, if we come each Sunday, there's 52 weeks in a year. Math ain't mathin' right there, right? For me to just have victory over these things and to constantly be inspired, just coming every single Sunday. It's what am I doing with this word in my home? What am I doing with this word in the secret place that he tells me to go to when I go in prayer, which is in the closet, right? Like, how am I devoting and spending that time with Jesus Christ to do works and healing in my heart so that somebody else can experience it? And the reason that I'm really, really driving this point home is because of all the tragedies that have been happening lately. And it makes me wonder, had we as the church been doing our part, would this happen? Now, it's not for me to say, like, to play God and be like, well, you know, it says this, it says that. But truthfully, would the catastrophes that we're seeing happen so rampantly and abundantly, would that be happening if the church was really doing their part, right? And that's not me just attacking prosperity churches. Now, I'm not attacking anybody. It's me encouraging, truthfully, is what it is for me to do. Whether you see that way, I don't know, take that up with the Lord. But that's what I'm doing, is my intention. But had we actually been practicing the principles that is written in this text, would we see the tragedies that's happening, or would people be raised knowing the biblical truths and teachings of Jesus Christ? And I say that specifically being raised because there is a difference between being raised in the church and growing up in the church, right? Like, growing up in the church is going each and every single week, putting on your best behavior, but then as soon as you go home, you're putting on secular music, you're listening to demonic oppression, you're watching these things that you should not be watching and filling yourself with these things. Or let me retract that and say, I'm doing these things, not you. I don't want to you guys. But I'm doing these things. And the teachings of Christ are not actually being resonated on my heart, right? But being raised in the church, which thankfully I was, as soon as I had turned my life over to Christ and I was reborn as an infant, I was raised in this church because people carried the real truth in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I was raised. I was shown. I was shown by men who were willing to get down here and surrender and not and say, Lord, I'm not that powerful, right? Like, I'm not that great, because trust me, I'm really not. Ask my wife. I make her very, very frustrated each and every day, right? But the difference is, and I'm not saying that I'm any different than you guys, but I'm at least, and I'm not saying you're not willing to, what I'm about to say is to say that you're not to do that you're not willing to do this. I'm at least willing to follow what the teaching says, where Jesus Christ tells me to humble myself and to look at myself and to know that, Lord, I'm missing the mark big time. And that's not what I want to do. What I want to do is to use the rest of my life that He has ordained for me to glorify His kingdom in heaven here on earth, right? And to carry the gospel to as many people need to hear it, and to not stop until they do hear. And it's not for me to just push it on them, but it's for me to show them. Because if you go back and you look at what we were reading in Hebrews, I'm going to reference back to that, where it says, we want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end. Showing is action, right? Like, how am I going to show you how to do this if I'm not walking this, right? It's the same thing with, you know, I'll use Tommy's profession, for example, for plumbing, right? He goes to connect a couple pipes. He can't tell me how to do it and for me to grasp it. Right, he has to actually like take the 90, stick the other 4-inch pipe with the glue around it and connect it and be like, this is how you do it. Right? It's the same thing with our walk with Jesus Christ. It's, hey, bud, your life's not really working out that well for you. You're kind of dealing with some misery. You're kind of struggling here. You kind of feel like these things aren't connected. Your mind and your heart's not really connected, and you feel kind of purposeless. I felt that way too, so I'm going to jump in this hole with you right now, and I'm going to show you that there actually is a way out. It's not through me. It's through this guy that I know. His name is Jesus Christ. And if you don't know who he is, he kind of came on this earth. He was sent from heaven, right? Kind of hard to believe, but he was sent from heaven. And he was sent here to teach us and to show us the way to the Father. And because he did that, a lot of people didn't really like it. So they crucified him on the cross and he died. A very, very painful death. And through that, he was through the spirit that was given to him from his Father in heaven, he resurrected 3 days later. It's like, John, we kind of know all this, and it's very elementary for you to bring this up. The reason I'm doing that is because we all know it so well. Do we constantly remind ourselves of that, right? Because the thing that I think of when I do that is like, I've been on this earth for 34 years. I know the gospel of Jesus, right? And in those 34 years, it's kind of like, I know these things. Well, for 1,500 years, the people of Israel reminded, forgot, until all of a sudden the Messiah had to come down and say, look, you guys, I'm here once and for all to tell you that this is it. This is the way, the truth, the life. Like, you want to follow it or not? And thankfully, I had that same question prompted to me. Do I want to spend my eternity in hell and damnation or with my Lord and Savior that has given me this gracious life that I have received abundantly? So thankfully for me, it was an easy turnover for me to do. So the last thing that I kind of want to hit on to wrap up these thoughts and these questions that are prompted to me, we're going to go over to Ephesians 4, verse 1. Where it says, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one, capital S, Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. That's exactly what my intention today is to do here, is to be humble, carrying his message, and to be gentle. I know it's kind of like, John, you're not really being that gentle to us today. But I'm doing this, my intention truthfully is to do this from a place of love, because I want to see each and every body in here in the kingdom of heaven when we get to go home. Amen. Because this life is temporary. Amen. I don't care, I was about to say something, I don't know if I could say up here. I don't care if you're mad at me, I care more about your soul than I do your feelings. Because feelings are not facts, right? And logic sometimes, like I don't even care about your logic. Because my best logic is like, how is Jesus Christ really going to die and be resurrected? Right? Like, God is outside of logic. He's not in this realm that we can comprehend. So, again, sorry if that sounds a bit offensive and harsh, but I love you, and I want to see you serving our Lord. I want to be up there with you saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord with you for eternity, right? So that is the entire purpose of what this message is today. So I'm going to continue just as it says right here in black and white. There's no gray area. There's no like, well, I think this. It says, no, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. So I will continue for the rest of my days to make every single effort, through every single effort that I can do to continue to show in love the teachings of Jesus Christ, just as He has ordained each and every one of us to do, right? Like, and I love how John led us this morning. I mean, after he got done, I was like, dude, I don't even think I have a message anymore. That brother just preached it all. Like, it is time for us to not be scared anymore. It's time for us to not be like, well, what that person does behind closed doors doesn't really matter to me. Guess what? It does. Yep. Because it's starting to pour out into our streets. Yep. Amen. So it is time for us to spend that time in the secret place when we're at home, right? To lift and strengthen and bond our relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you're married, with your spouse, and if you have children, with your children, to raise them up with this biblical truth, because that's exactly what this is. This is truth. Jesus said it perfectly in John, as He always says everything perfectly. He is the way, the truth, and the life, right? So it is up for us to make every effort to do that, to crucify our flesh, right? When it's like, Lord, I don't know if I want to go to that event today. Like, I kind of just want to stick around and hang out and sleep on the couch, which I understand there's time for rest and all that, but if you have strength and dexterity in your life, I'm just going to flat out ask, what are we doing? Right? Like, what are we doing to not serve our Lord? Because remember, the very first question, in case you're like, John, you've been kind of talking for a while and you forgot. The very first question that was asked is, remember that bondage, right, that brought you in here? Remember why you're here? Go back to that and remember where you came from. Because that's exactly what it was for me. My wife and I, we were looking back at all these arrests that I had starting from the age of 21. And it's like, golly, man. Why was I so hard-headed for so long? And even to this day, after knowing and experiencing Jesus Christ, I'm not sitting here trying to say what everything I said was 100% biblically accurate or anything like that. It's truly just experiential knowledge. Right? Like, I'm not a studious in this, but after knowing Jesus Christ and experiencing the promises that He has given to me to this day, like, why do I still fall back into the same temptation? Why do I still listen to that, you won't certainly die, John? Right? And it's like, how did Eve ever first listen to the serpent and take that bite? And it's like, well, I still do it to this day. Yeah. Right? Like, He's like, John, I want you to do this. And it's like, Lord, that's kind of scary and uncomfortable. I don't know if I want to do that right now. Like when He prompted my beautiful wife to me in front of me. And she's like, hey, when we were starting to get serious in dating, she's like, hey, like, if we're going to get more and more serious, like, I want to go to a church. And it's like, well, you just messed this all up. Thanks. Like, this was going great, but thanks for messing it up. And that's just me sharing the honest truth. But thankfully, there was something that had struck in me that was like, no, I want to see where this goes, because I 100% trust this woman with my heart that she's not going to hurt me. And thankfully, due to that, she was one of the key instruments that helped lead me to Christ. So that is the same things that I want to say preaching, because that's not what I'm up here to do. I'm not here to preach to you guys. I'm here just to be your brother, to share the truth with you and to say, hey, guys, the flat and blunt, honest truth that you don't want to hear, but I'm going to share to you. We can do better. Amen. Absolutely. We can do better. And the real truth here is we need to do better. Not that we can do better, because it's like, you're right, Jonathan. Sorry, Mom. I keep forgetting. It's like, yeah, you're 100% right. We can do better, but As soon as I go home and I get a burger in my belly and I lay down, it's going to be like, I'm tired, right? Like, I'm going to relax a little bit, kick the boots off, and put my feet up. But and there's nothing wrong with that, right? Keep the Sabbath holy. It's a day of rest. Even the Lord did that. But tomorrow, are we going to retain this in our minds and in our hearts? Are we going to retain this and continue to live this out? So deal with that and do with that as you will. If that's something you don't want to hear or anything like that, praise God, I'll be praying for you. I hope that one day you'll crucify that flesh and that you'll be willing to come up here. So at this time, if Henry and the team would like to come up, we did this thing that's called invitation if you're new here, which is something that I was kind of referencing to earlier, where it's just that time with you and the Lord. And like I said, I would truly and honestly encourage each and every one of us, right? Like, not to be up here to be prompt or be like, oh, look at us, like we're doing what a church should do. But no, put your face to the floor, right? In the humble honoring of our Lord Jesus Christ and that place that He brought us from. Even if you haven't had like struggles like that bad, right? Like you just deal with a little bit of pride, like, just remember, pride was the original sin. Like, even if you haven't been in churches ripping out copper from the walls and from the AC unit just to go get some dope, like I have, just remember, like, that little bit that you have done, remember where you came from. And even if there's something that you don't have to give reverence for in that, if you have a brother or somebody that you're close to that is up here, I encourage the church to come up here and to place your hands on your brothers and your sisters to lift them up, right? Because we don't know what everybody's going through in this room. So I just encourage everybody in here, if nothing else, come up here to just give the Lord thanks for saving your sorry soul from hell. So thank you.
Oh, we're just carrying on a conversation. What a beautiful man you are. Thank you so much, sir, for sharing and being truthful, right? That's just wonderful. You going to hold it together?
Hopefully.
Or will I? Thank you.
at this time, here we as a church, Branches of Christ, we like to offer communion at this time to do in the remembrance of the sacrifice of what Jesus Christ has come and done for us, Father God. I don't know why I said Father God, but that continued prayer, Lord, that we take this communion remembering you and the sacrifices that you have done for us, Jesus. So it's not something that we push on you. It's not something that we mandate that you do, just on the calling of your heart or the prompt of your heart that I would encourage you to answer that, right? Because we take this in the remembrance of Jesus Christ on the last night before he was crucified and his flesh was beaten, battered, and bruised and bloody to give us sanctification for the forgiveness of our sins. And the other thing that I would, I'm also going to encourage you based on the biblical truth of what he said, that if you have a date with sin this week, I would encourage you not to take this, because then you will take the judgment upon you that comes with it for taking this for granted, so to speak. So there will be brothers and sisters that come up to you on your left and your right that will be passing you the plate if you wish to partake in this at this time with us. So just want to encourage you yet again to answer the prompts that are set on your heart. So I will, I'll lead us in some prayer before passing it out. Dear good and gracious Heavenly Father, hallowed is your name, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to seek audience with you. We thank you for your minister to grant us that bridge to you, Father God, Jesus Christ. And it is only through his blood are we able to even see you, because before his crucifixion, Father God, there was only one man that was allowed to enter into that temple one time per year, Lord. But now we are able to seek constant relationship with you, Lord. So we give thanks to you, Jesus, for that. We give thanks to you for each and every one of the brothers and sisters here today, Lord, that we would continue to, as you said on the night of the Passover, this, your body, that we would eat, Lord and Father God, that we would do that as well, that we would crucify our flesh as well, and not to put us on a pedestal with you, Lord, but to follow the teachings and to live with your dust on us as a disciple of your word, Father God. That we would crucify our flesh and we would take of this cup and eat your body and to drink your blood for the sanctification of our sins, Lord. We give thanks to you for all these things we pray for in your holy and mighty name.